Tonight I'm going to talk about power, about what it is to step into one's power, to live as a powerful person. And I want to be very clear at the outset, I'm not talking about power over others. That's often how it's understood in the world, control, manipulation of others. I'm talking about what it is to have a powerful presence and to live from a powerful place. And I'll just say that it's ironic that the people who are trying to control others and trying to manipulate others, that's often driven by tremendous fear and insecurity. It looks powerful, but it's actually not. And even in the great historical sweep, you know, the great dictators who controlled by power, you know, Adolf Hitler, for example, had this, you know, this complete lockdown power on Germany. And he was saying things like the Third Reich is going to last for 1,000 years. Well, it lasted for 13 years, you know. Whereas someone like Gandhi, a person of tremendous personal power, he liberated India. India's still free. They're still following his legacy. And he's had influence and inspiration on people worldwide. So it's a much greater kind of power. I'm talking about this because last week, one of the things I mentioned was this, almost this paradox, these two different ways of approaching the sacred. One you might call a route of acceptance, humility, surrender, a yin approach to the sacred, and this other of stepping into one's power. You might say a more yang approach to the sacred. And they're not contradictory at all. I mean, there's, you know, in our own lives, there's always going to be many things that I can control, many ways that I can make my life better, make the world better. And there's also going to be always many things that are just completely beyond my control and I can't do anything about them. I say that the first one, the yin version of approaching the sacred, that's gotten a lot of that got a lot of press over the last 2,000 years. The Christian Church was gave a lot of support to that kind of approach to the sacred. But this idea of stepping into our power and that is actually part of the spiritual path, that's actually a relatively new idea in the history of ideas. So in this talk, I'm going to talk about what I'll call the four principles of power. And to get into it, I'll just talk about some of the ways that we give our power away. And it's astonishing when you start to pay attention how many ways we give our power away. For example, all the ways that I might be looking for approval from others. I'm not okay unless I get other people's approval. All the ways that I'm looking for some kind of permission. I need somebody else to do something or say something so I have permission to like myself, or I have permission to be alive or to forgive myself or whatever. Certainly anything related to blame or victim status, you know, that person made me feel this way, that event made me feel this way. I'm saying that that outside thing had agency over my internal state of being. It's a way of giving my power away. And it, you know, it's always very, very interesting just to pay attention to that language of blank makes me feel something, you know. Does anything external ever really make us feel something? You know, it's an interesting question. Now, it is true that, you know, one thing that can be depressing or can be, you know, can put people in a kind of victim state is news, you know. And it is true that we live in a time when there are lots of messages of fear and hatred and separation and this sort of thing. When I look at that, I look at it as an indictment on myself in the sense that I'm someone who values love, compassion, forgiveness, connection, this sort of thing. I'm not being powerful enough. I'm not bringing this message of love in a powerful enough way in the world. And I think what the world most needs are people connected to their hearts to step into their own power and to put out a powerful message in the world. And so notice that this kind of reinterpretation is one I would call a reinterpretation of self-responsibility. And I would call this the first principle of power. In fact, I would even say radical self-responsibility. It's absolutely true that there's a lot in the world for which I'm not responsible. It's absolutely true, you know, what anyone else says or does, I have no control over that. I'm not responsible for that. Certainly world events, you know, social, economic stuff, natural disasters, I have no control over that. I'm not responsible for that. But I am responsible for my reaction to everything around me. I'm not responsible for what the other person says or does, but I am responsible for the story I make about it. I am responsible for the emotional place I go because of it. And that's a really important distinction, and that's part of self-responsibility, to realize how much choice I have at every moment, you know? Because head likes to, you know, create the victim status story. You know, I have no choice. All this stuff is happening. I can't do anything about it. Well, I can't do anything about that, but I can do everything about this. You know? And so that's one aspect of power. Another aspect of power, the second principle I would call, is boundaries. And this has a lot to do with the third chakra, the chakra right here, the solar plexus. This is the chakra that controls boundaries, and sometimes it's called the power center, because when someone has really good boundaries, they're a very powerful person. I think I'll say that many times I've heard people say things like, it's really hard to live in the world as, you know, a heart-open, sensitive person. And I would say, yes, it's really hard to be very open in your heart chakra and to have poor boundaries. That's a recipe for getting clobbered, basically, you know? But if you have very strong boundaries, then it's possible to be very heart open and in touch with really a deep vulnerability, a deep sensitivity, and yet still able to take care of yourself. And I would point to someone like the Dalai Lama, who I think is really good at this, who can hold tremendous compassion, even for the people that have victimized the Tibetans, and yet he's always taking care of himself. He's not giving away his own power in doing that. So one way to think about the action of this chakra is to think about the physical organs that are here, the digestion organs. I often like to say, digestion is the miraculous process where not me becomes me. That's what digestion is. You know, I take in food, and then this miraculous process happens in my gut, and somehow it decides, all right, here's the stuff that we need to make Mike, here's the stuff that we need so Mike can be Mike, and then here's the stuff we don't need, and when the body gets rid of that. And of course, it's very flexible, it's dynamic, it's not like we eat the same thing every day, you know, we're eating all kinds of different foods, and every day we have different needs, depending on our health and our exercise, and it's always adjusting the, you know, what do I need at every moment. And so that's, in many ways, a model for what healthy boundaries are. You know, this chakra, in many ways, is the energetic analog of the digestion organs. In other words, there's energy that comes at all of us. There's messages that come at all of us. You should be this kind of person. You should be that kind of person. You should value this. You should fight against that. You know, you should buy this. You know, there's all the messages from the media. There's all the messages from you know, certainly people we know, people in our family, friends, there's you know, even strangers on the streets, the way they may react, you know, the look they give us, the, you know, all these things are messages coming at us. To have healthy boundaries is to have a sense of, okay, this energy coming at me, this is something I'll take in and make part of me, versus this energy, this is not part of me, I'm going to let this go. And so it's that question of, can I, and of course, there may be different things that I'll need different at different times, you know, and so it's dynamic, exactly the same way that physical digestion is dynamic. And certainly one thing that's helpful in developing boundaries is just to start to develop that sense, you know, what kinds of situations, what people make me feel calm, happy, alive, make me feel like I can relax and be myself. What kinds of situations, what kinds of people make me tense, make me fearful, make me, you know, very uncomfortable in myself, you know? Right there, that's a very good sign. The types of things that I should be filling myself up with and the types of things I should be trying to keep out and, you know, be mindful of keeping those energies out. And so that's what I would call the second principle of power, boundaries. The third principle is focus. I've heard it said once that when consciousness expands, will focuses. You know, if I'm a distracted person, I want to do this, 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 and nothing gets done. You know, but to be more conscious is to say, okay, I'm going to put other things aside, but I'm going to focus on this one thing and follow it through to completion. That's more powerful. That's much more powerful than distracted energy going all over the place. And there's many analogs, you know, if I'm, say, with money, you know, if I'm spending all over the place and then I don't have it for what I really want versus being very thrifty, very mindful of how I'm spending it and focusing it on what I need or what I most want. In verbal energies, you know, if I'm spilling words out of my mouth, you know, as soon as it comes into my head, I'm speaking it, this flow of energy, that's probably not going to be very powerful. In fact, that's probably going to be kind of dazing or hard for people to take in versus the person who can really be very discerning and just say very little, but say it with tremendous intention. That's powerful, you know? So a variety of ways that focus is an important part of power. The final principle of power is intention. And this is a word that is often misunderstood. In modern parlance, we use intention as the plan in my head. You know, I have a plan in my head and the events don't turn out the way that I was expecting. I say, oh, that was not my intention. That's not really what intention is. Intention has nothing to do with the head. Intention comes out of the core of our being. Intention comes out of the core of who we are. And so one way to think of it is, if I'm living a life where the things I'm doing every day, the choices I'm making, the things I'm saying, the things I'm doing, feel aligned with who I really am, that's a life of intention. You know? And so it's just an interesting question to ask yourself. To what extent is the life you live something aligned with who you feel you really are? And if it doesn't feel very closely aligned, what's one small change you could make? What's one bad habit you could let go, or one new habit you could develop? What's one little thing you could stop, one little thing you could start, just to start to move your life more in that direction, so who you are in your everyday life is resonating with who you are in your deepest being? And the more you can focus on it, and this is, of course, where meditation is helpful, where you really can develop this visceral sense of intention. So the four principles: self-responsibility, we could even call it radical self-responsibility, boundaries, focus, and intention. And so at this point, I often prepare a quote sheet. I used to be a high school teacher, so I always have handouts. And usually I make more than enough, but the room is so crowded. I'd say if you're kind of friendly with the person next to you, maybe you can share. There, well. So I'll read through these. You might want to pick up one later.
Okay, thank you.
From From Napoleon Hill, the author. Thoughts mixed with definiteness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire are powerful things. So again, acting from this place of intention. I don't know this author, Glenoy Westcott. People, as a rule, do mean much more than they understand. And so this idea of, you know, they're acting from the core of their being, they don't even necessarily understand why they're acting that way, you know. From Louise Hay, you have the power to heal your life, and you need to know that. We think so often that we are helpless, but we're not. We always have the power of our minds. Claim and consciously use your power. Very powerful words. Ram Dass tells us, the most exquisite paradox, as soon as you give it all up, you can have it all. As long as you want power, you can't have it. The minute you don't want power, you'll have more than you ever dreamed possible. And it is kind of this paradox that the power that we have, the power that one can develop, doesn't really belong to the ego. And it's almost like a letting go of the ego that allows more power to come through. And so there is, you know, there is this kind of paradox there. This long quote from Marianne Williamson. Achievement doesn't come from what we do, but from who we are. Our worldly power results from our personal power. Our career is an extension of our personality. People who profoundly achieve aren't necessarily people who do much. They're people around whom things get done. Mahatma Gandhi and JFK were great examples of this. Their great achievements lay in the energy they stirred in other people, the invisible forces they unleashed around them. By touching their own depths, they touched the depths within others. That kind of charisma, the power to affect what happens on Earth from an invisible realm within, is the natural right and function of a son of God. New frontiers are internal ones. The real stretch is always within us. Instead of expanding our ability or willingness to go out and get anything, we expand our ability to receive what is already here for us. Personal power emanates from someone who takes life seriously. The universe takes us as seriously as we take it. There is no greater seriousness than the full appreciation of the power and importance of love. Miracles flow from the recognition that love is the purpose of our career. Need a drink after that. From Oprah Winfrey. I'm finally ready to own my own power, to say, this is who I am. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't like it, you don't. So watch out, I'm going to fly. And this whole idea of not being attached to other people's approval. Henry Cloud says, boundaries define us. They define what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows me where I end and someone else begins, leading me to a sense of ownership. Knowing what I am to own and take responsibility for gives me freedom. So there's tremendous freedom when I'm only responsible for myself, when I'm not taking on imagined responsibilities for all the people around me, you know. Or conversely, expecting all the people around me to be responsible for me, you know, that sort of thing. Steve Goodyear says, your power to choose can never be taken from you. It can be neglected and it can be ignored, but if used, it can make all the difference. And it's so important to remember that at any point in time, we are always at choice. Bryant McGill says, every journey begins with the first step of articulating the intention and then becoming the intention. I like that one. Brené Brown says, compassionate people ask for what they need. They say no when they need to, and when they say yes, they mean it. They're compassionate because their boundaries keep them out of resentment. And so that's very powerful. You know, does your no really mean no? Does your yes really mean yes? You know, and if that yes and that no resonates with who you are, you're not going to resent what other people, you know, are getting from you, that sort of thing. If I'm saying yes when I mean no, then I'm setting myself up for trouble. Germany Kent tells us, how to win in life, work hard, complain less, listen more, try, learn, grow. Don't let other people tell you it can't be done, make no excuses. There you go, very simple. Brenda Yuvanoff says, all great acts are ruled by intention. What you mean is what you get. That's very powerful. I've heard some people say, if you want to really know what your intention is right now, look at the sum total of your life. Everything showing up in your life, good, bad, the things you plan, the act things that seem like accidents, it's all manifesting your intention in some way. Jay-Z Colby says, one thing I can guarantee is that the world will never change itself because of our weakness. In fact, it has a ways of actually becoming more dangerous when we approach it with a bad attitude. That is so true. Lujan Matus says, in most cases, it's not what you do, but what you don't do that delivers you to a state of power. That's very subtle. Lance Conrad says, people never know they are capable until all other options run out. I like that one, that, you know, we give ourselves an illusion of choice or illusion of, you know, I can only do this much. And often we have to put ourselves in situations that demand a little bit more of us than we think we have. And we find out, oh, wait, my perceived limit is not actually who I am. Yeah, that's outward bound courses are good for that sort of thing. Kevin Donaldson says, remember, no one has the right to control your emotions, thoughts, and actions unless you let them. Dibish Midra says, most powerful is he who never cared for power. Theon Morris says, a warrior cuts out all unnecessary acts. In this way, he saves his personal power. I love this one. I'm not going to try and pronounce this woman's name, but I love this one. Do not wait for the green light. You are the green light. Shannon Alder says, the only real conflict you will ever have in life won't be with others, but with yourself. So true. And it again, a perspective of tremendous self-responsibility. Look at every conflict in your life. That's a conflict with yourself. And finally, Deborah Day, evaluating the benefits and drawbacks of any relationship is your responsibility. You do not have to passively accept what is brought to you. You can choose.